Evening, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you're using a pew Bible, you can turn to page 964. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read through chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Again, that's 964 in the pew Bible. Give attention to the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. All right, cool. Awesome. Just be true to yourself. Just be true to yourself. I think be true to yourself. Have you ever heard that? I think you have. Just be true to yourself. It sums up just about every Disney movie, at least of old, that I saw growing up, okay? Just be true to yourself. The truth is that saying it comes from Shakespeare. To thine own self be true. It's a little bit different, actually, now that I think about it. But to thine own self be true. It's a line from Act 1, Scene 3 of Shakespeare's play Hamlet. It's spoken by King Claudius's chief minister, Polonius, as part of a speech where he's talking to his son about how to act when he's off at university. Long before that, in classic antiquity, one of the high priestesses known as the Oracle of Delphi, love Greek history, it's fascinating stuff, but she put it, this oracle put it like this: know thyself. So like antiquity, right, one of the worst cultural sins that we can commit today is to be inauthentic, to not be true to oneself. To not be true to yourself is to lose yourself today. A person who's found themselves is one who's true to self, wherever that leads, whatever that means. And that is entirely left up to the individual to decide. And one of the ways that we see this played out in our lives is when we or someone we know is going through great hardship. Now, it could be something as difficult and serious as cancer or a divorce. It can be a sick child, a very, very serious illness. It can be job loss. It can be mounds and mounds and mounds of stress causing anxiety and other things, other health issues. And there's one lie that we either say to ourselves, we'll tell this lie to ourselves in those moments, or it's the lie that we will tell other people. It's a total lie. So this morning, I'm gonna leave you hanging on that. You're going to find out in a minute. This morning, I want to talk openly about this lie that we all believe, and then I want us to hear the truth that we refuse to believe. So I want to consider these two points this morning: the lie we tell ourselves and the truth that we refuse to believe. Two things this evening, not this morning, I'm sorry. It looks like morning. Why does it look the same? It's not even dark out yet. I mean, okay, daylight savings. The lie we tell ourselves, right? There is a lie that we tell ourselves. Well, what's the lie that we tell ourselves? Now, this is captured often in Disney. Yes, I'm picking on Disney. I actually love Disneyland. I'm not hating on it unintentionally. I'm intentionally hating on it unintentionally. How about that? But Disney would have us, and other things, right, would have us be counselors who tell other people who are experiencing hard times and going through the hard things that I mentioned a second ago, God will never give you more than you can handle. That is the messaging. And it sounds like this, right? If you just believe, that is definitely a Disney message. Or SeaWorld. Or if you put enough faith in yourself, if you just believe in yourself, or if you discover who you were really meant to be, or if you change who you want to be, you'll overcome and you can get through anything. Whatever life throws at you, you'll get through it. And we believe this lie. This is the lie we tell ourselves over and over and over again. It's so ingrained in our culture. It's so ingrained in us. So have you ever heard somebody tell you that lie before? Have you ever told it to somebody? Well, probably, at some point, some way or another, maybe on accident, when you're struggling to find words of comfort to somebody who is going through a really hard time. God will never give you more than you can handle, right? Maybe we said it that way. We put a holy stamp on it, holy stamp of approval. But let's not take my word for it, okay? Let's look at what Scripture says. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. So this letter, 2 Corinthians, it is sent and read at a time when Paul's relationship as an apostle, as the one who actually planted this church in Corinth, was very, very strained. Times were tense. There are adversaries or intruders that have come along and who have made it their message to discredit Paul, to say bad things about him, to make themselves look good, and the people in this church are now questioning, and they're saying to themselves, they're wondering, is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who lives in weakness, really someone who has the authority and the power of Jesus, the Almighty? They're wondering that question. Because when they look at who's telling these lies, they see power, they see success, they see glamour, credibility. In all their interactions with Paul, Paul notes this later in the letter, it's interesting. They're weak, right? When he comes in person, he's not this pompous, you know, everything that Paul was cracked up to be. He comes across very weak, not powerful, not credible or successful in all the ways that they imagine in their own estimation, in their own opinion and calculation. Their eyes still believe that God will never give you more than you can handle. And so he writes this, read with me now again, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, It's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Now, I wanted to reread that because I wanted you to notice something. Did you notice how many times he says words that are unfamiliar to us? What are those unfamiliar words? Anybody want to take a guess? I don't really want to put you on the spot. It's okay. But if you want to. Unfamiliar words. There it is, the S word. Who said it? Go ahead, say it louder. Suffering, right? The other one is, it starts with an A. Affliction, right? These are words that are so distant, so foreign to our vocabulary, especially right now. And they were in Corinth too. Suffering, affliction. They're non-existent in our daily chatter, right? We try to do everything we can to avoid it, right? Cemeteries and all that don't exist anymore, right? We don't want to talk about the hard things. Someone asks, how are you? And how do we usually respond? I'm fine. I'm good. Never better, right? How often do you hear from somebody, you don't usually hear this, but I'm like, how often would you hear, when you ask, how are you doing? Oh yeah, I'm a train wreck. I'm doing terrible. My truck broke down. My dog died. My wife left me. And I'm going through, a lot of pain in my hip. Like, how many times is that like part of, the response? And all the details of someone's life just out there. And it's like, oh, actually, I didn't mean to get in that conversation with you. And oh, that's uglier than I anticipated. No, we put the facade on, right? No, I'm good. Never better. Suffering is not part of our daily vocabulary. These words that Paul says are uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable words because success and strength and power are what we hunger for inside and what we want to be part of and what we want to portray to other people. Even in coming here to preach this evening, the second time, I kind of stressed over what to preach on. I had not just 2 hours to preach, but 4 hours. So I had 2 whole extra hours to worry about what to preach about. And part of that worry is, because of that, short amount of time. But the other part of the worry, the stress, is because inside of me, and I want to propose, consider it, but I propose it's something that's inside of each one of us if we are honest and we look at ourselves inside. It's not really fun to do. That there's this insatiable desire that we have where we want to impress, right? We want to win approval. We want to be noticed or heard or seen, and we just need to have it. Inevitably, on our worst days, we each crave to be worshiped. We either worship ourselves like narcissists, or we call on others to, hey, notice me, right? Look what I'm doing. And so we want others to worship us, trying to take God's place. But Paul keeps saying affliction, suffering, words foreign. This is how deeply seated the lie that we tell ourselves is. And so we need Paul's emphatic emphasis over and over and over again to remind us of this deep-seated lie and to challenge it, to push it away. Now, the best word that I can think of to capture the sense of affliction that Paul seems to have in mind that he's describing here is the word pressure. Pressure. It's the feeling of enormous pressure you might get when you're overwhelmed with so many responsibilities. Maybe they've just piled up and you're running out of time. Maybe you've been put on the spot. You have a work deadline coming up, or if you're a student, you have a paper that's due or a series of papers that are due all at one time, and you have several other commitments going on at the same time, and you're just swarmed, and you have family and life and work and just all of these and you feel overwhelmed, and you're under that pressure. You've been asked to do too much, too soon, and you don't have enough time. Anybody ever feel that way, ever? Really? Three people. Great. All right, cool. Everybody has felt that way at some point or another. And if you haven't yet, you're going to be under the gun at some point, and you're going to feel that pressure. That is American society. Welcome to it. Right? We are crazy busy people. And so more and more gets piled on, and that is what the pressure is that we're describing. So in 1981, maybe some people might be familiar with this, but Queen and David Bowie, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they struck a chord with their hit song, Under Pressure. Everybody knows that song, pretty sure. Cue the hi-hat, there's the bass line, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it's not Ice Ice Baby, that they stole that, right? But some piano, some hit the percussion, cymbals, clapping hands, snap your fingers, electric guitar, and all that, all the good vibes. And then you hear that unforgettable voice, pressure, pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man asked for. Under pressure that brings a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets. The imagination of this moment is spectacular. It's cool, man. And the song as it ends, yes, yes, this is our dance. Yes, this is ourselves. This hits a note of describing the human experience. They put this common feeling of being under pressure, right, under the gun, to music. What it feels like to be stressed out, burnt out, to be burdened by something or someone or something indescribable even. You feel me, right? That's, you ever been there? Pressure? And it just takes the right combo of the circumstances, whether it's in your control or out of your control or all of the above. And it comes and then you're feeling it and you're under pressure. And that's because everybody's human. You can feel that pressure. From the doctor you see, to the patient you have, to the cashier who checked out, you know, your groceries, or the person you passed by on the street, to the pastor standing here. We can all experience and face that kind of affliction, that pressure. But we keep, in those moments, we buy into the lie, don't we? We'll ignore crucial facts about our lives in order to bypass and avoid the uncomfortable truth. This is the truth that we refuse to believe. The truth we refuse to believe, I don't want you to be unaware of this truth. This is what I'm getting at here. This is a truth that will free you from whatever affliction you find yourself in today. And this truth is so hard to believe, but it's freeing once you believe it. So here's the truth. God will absolutely, 100%, give you more than you can handle. It's true. He will give you more than you can handle. More than you can bear. Just breathe that in. Let's look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, what's the word he says? Burdened. Beyond our strength. He didn't say within our strength. So burdened within my strength, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Right? That is pressure. That is some serious pressure. Now, we don't know exactly what Paul was experiencing, what exactly the pressure was, right? Commentators argue about his experience being one of three main options. Some say he was dealing with some kind of mental health condition or mental illness. Others say it was an illness that was terminal, and then it later ended up turning around, and so he ended up being okay. And then others speculate it was he and others facing intense persecution, and they were beaten or imprisoned. We can't imagine that happening to the Apostle Paul, right? No, never. Shipwrecked, maybe. Running for his life. And there's a lot of speculation about which it is and arguments about which it is. But the specifics really don't matter here. We don't need to nail down which it is. I almost think Paul meant to be vague. I almost think he didn't want us to know exactly which one it was, right? Because then it appeals more broadly to more people, rhetorically too. So it can be any number of things that anyone, not just an apostle or a pastor or a ministry leader, can face. It happens to everyone. And so can't you identify to what he shares here? He says, "So utterly burdened beyond our strength," he tells them. "We despaired of life itself," he says. "We felt that we had received the sentence of death," right? So whatever series of circumstances that Paul was facing, it had pushed him over the edge. He was beyond his own resources. He had reached his limit. If you've been there, you know. If you know, you know. And it was bigger than he could handle. And so, does God just give us what we can handle? Well, no, not according to Scripture, right? God gives us, God may also give you more than you can handle, more than you can bear. I want to share something that's very difficult, it's hard to talk about. I would say more socially unacceptable, being more socially acceptable now to talk about. But a pastor I once met, well, his own pastor, he shared the story. His own pastor ended his life. And hearing this, sometimes people will think, well, maybe he deserved it, right? Maybe he did something. Maybe he was hiding something, a sin. He was guilty of wrongdoing, embroiled in scandal. Maybe his theology was wrong, right? We come up with all kinds of reasons why it might have been. And it makes it easy for us to dismiss it. But you know what? This pastor ended his life not because of too much failure, not because of a scandal. His life came to an end because of too much success. The inverse of what you would think, right? He was planting churches. The church was building a new building. He was a conference speaker, and he was supposedly an incredible counselor for many sufferers. Success, too much of it. You see, when we refuse to believe the truth that God will give us more than we can handle, sometimes we believe the lie that we're out of options. We think that there's no place to turn, there's nobody who might understand us, nobody who can feel what we feel, and that's the lie. That's the lie. The truth is there is help, there are people who will listen, and there's a God, not just up above, but a God who came down below in Jesus to give hope and freedom from your pain, from your discomfort, your trial, and this momentary affliction that you experience. God's plan for suffering in the Christian life is redemption. It's not wasted suffering. No matter how bad it's been. Just to share with you, get a little personal, but some of the more than I can handles of my recent life that I've been given are this. Over the summer, a friend of mine very faithful congregant, someone who encouraged me often. I was looking through texts and emails and just memories thinking of him. He died unexpectedly in his sleep. I did his funeral over the summer. On a Sunday morning following that, our dog Rex died. He was a puppy still, year and 3 months or something, by like a freak accident, got tangled up with our other dog and died. So that was really hard on our three boys. And then on top of that, so I buried my dog, and then 2 months later, our church that I was pastoring, we closed our church. Very difficult times for sure. I said goodbye to a dream of seeing a church planted in San Marcos. And then around that time, we were also dealing with the reality that our nephew's cancer had returned, and he was going to begin chemotherapy again. He's two years old. His name's Brett. If you ever think of him, pray for him. Always needs it. He's doing okay right now. Thank God. And icing on the cake, right, my sister was going through a divorce that left us really depleted. So it's just all of these things, right, the pressure, all the things. And these are some of the more than I can handles, right? I think each of us have their moment. We each have a moment to share of that one time when I had more than I can handle. Or maybe it's coming, or maybe you're in it right now, and you're facing it, and you're burdened. Now, any of us might be thinking, as you should be, right? Why would God give us more than we can handle? If the philosopher, the inner philosopher comes out right now, right? Why would God do this? Why would I have to go through such hell in this lifetime? Isn't God supposed to be loving and kind, benevolent, right? That's the philosophical. Why do I have to endure affliction? God's purpose in giving you more than you can handle is so that you would stop relying on yourself and that you would trust in God. Yes, he wants us to come to the end of our rope, but not so we'd be strangled by it. That's to believe the lie. The truth is, and don't refuse to believe it any longer, right? God wants you to trust in his son, Jesus, forever. Let's look at the second part, verse 9, and I'm going to wrap up. Verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. All right, so suffering and unfair circumstances, they can and they will happen to you at some point in this life. Guarantee that. Maybe hard things have already happened. Maybe you're in the thick of it now. And when you're in it, it's always a crucible. It's always a fiery trial, and it's difficult. It's hard. And there are two ways that we can respond to this kind of suffering. Two ways. I'm not a two ways guy all the time, okay? I know there was a sermon about two ways this morning. That's just coincidental. But there are two ways we can respond. The first way is to keep trusting in ourselves so we can keep trying to muscle through it and power through it. Say, I'm going to figure this out. I have the strength. And just try to find that inner strength over and over again until we're depleted and we're out of luck. That will only lead you to despair. It will lead you to relational breakdown. It'll lead you to bitterness. You don't want to go that road. Because when the pressure's there, who can bear it? No one can. We're not meant to. We are human. The second way we can respond to suffering is to cast our cares onto the one who cares for us. The one who cared so much for us that he sent his son to endure the very worst kind of divine affliction that any human being could ever handle, so we wouldn't have to bear that kind of suffering. And I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the gospel. The pressure you're under doesn't have to end badly. Paul is offering for us in this text not just a way out, right, not an escape hatch from suffering or avoidance of suffering, like the Eastern mentality that, oh, it just doesn't really exist and just don't think about suffering. Well, if you're suffering, dude, you're thinking about suffering. I'm sorry. You can't wish it away. It's there. You can't wish away cancer. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. But Paul's offering a way through suffering that leads to encouragement and comfort and hope. God's not going to keep you free from suffering, but he is more than able to carry you through it. Absolutely. And so when you face pressure, God wants you to come to him and to dive deeper into community with others who suffer too. Newsflash, we're all sufferers. We're sinners and we're sufferers. So there's good news there. There's a whole congregation full of people who are like you or going through a hard time. So you're not alone. It's good. Get to know people in the church. But God wants you to come to him, dive deeper in that community, and to celebrate with him, not defeat, but victory, right? Victory through the one who suffered for us. Yes, he did. And we preach that message constantly, that theology of the cross. But he also was raised for us. Jesus was raised for us. So God allows for us to be put under pressure in that crucible of fire, right? So we'll learn and we'll relearn over and over again how to trust in the one who had power over death, the one who conquered death. He's killed death, in fact. And he offers you the one who bore more than you could handle for you. Jesus bore more than you can handle. Put your trust in him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we know that true authenticity is not avoiding the appearance of suffering. Authenticity is not believing the lie that you won't give us more than we can handle, but the truth that you will give us more than we can handle. And as authentic people, wanting an authentic community in your church, we won't act like we're too good. So we have to try and power through it or just fake it till we make it. True authenticity is recognizing our lives being marked by both suffering and comfort, by both affliction and encouragement, and seeing this obvious weakness as a key sign that we are in fact authentically created and redeemed and loved by you in Jesus Christ, O Lord. This is that upside down power of the cross at work in us. I pray that each of us would see it tonight. Apart from you, Lord, we can do nothing. We now know that you will sometimes give us more than we can handle. And when we're brought to our knees, when that happens, when we're at the end of our rope, help us to give up our self-reliance and to instead trust in you for everything, every day, for the rest of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.